race to the sky. And all who see her know she stands for liberty.
Thank you, Linda. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Luke chapter 6. We'll be looking at a number of verses in the passage this morning coming from Luke chapter number 6. Let's go ahead and seek some divine help for this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is yours, your mind that you've provided to us here. Help our minds to not only gain an understanding of your mind, but to gain an understanding of how to do the truths in this word. And God, as you've chosen me this morning to present these truths, I ask for your help in my presentation of these truths. Help my thoughts to be clear, my speech to be clear. Help me to not say anything that would detract or steer people away from your truth and how to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. In this part of Christ's message here in Luke 6, he begins giving some brand new principles of life. Now, they may not be new today, but they were certainly new then, and they were shocking. Because the principles that he began teaching here, they went against every societal norm of that day. Every bit of what man thinks is normal, these principles went against that. But these principles are also the salvation of society. Now, they are still shocking today because our cultural norms still go against these principles. And still, these principles would be the salvation of our society today. By the way, I'll just throw this out there. Now that the election's over with, my mailbox has gotten a lot less full. And I'm not getting three or four texts from some unknown number every day. Don't you love it? Now, I mention that because the salvation of our society is not going to be found through an election. It doesn't matter who's in office. I know most of you are probably realizing that now. It doesn't matter. They're all crooks. They're not. That's just what people like to think. But it really doesn't matter who's in office. Society isn't going to change if we don't follow Christ's principles. So let's look at first some principles of human relationships. Now, Jesus knew that when he was speaking, not everyone was going to be hearing him. You know the difference, moms and dads. You understand this. Like with our children, they hear us, but they don't hear us, right? You know what I mean by that. They hear sound, but they're not listening. And Jesus knew that when he began speaking these principles, not everyone was going to hear. Some wouldn't like what he was saying, so they would just tune him out while he's speaking. Imagine that. How rude is that, right? Don't answer. Because how many of you have been thinking about what you have to get at the store before you go home today? Ah! But would we have done that to Jesus Christ? Would we not hang on his every word? The Bible is his every word. Let's hang on that. Let's give him that focus that he needs us to have. And he warns us today to guard against not listening to his words. Here's the first principle dealing with love. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 27, he says, "But I say unto you, which hear," are you listening? "Love your enemies and do good to them which hate you." That's shocking, right? Now, I don't know everybody's business here. I know some people's business. Only because you told me, not because I Facebook stalked you or anything like that. But I know that there's, you know, we have some hurts maybe in the past. People that have hurt us. People we're not getting along with. God says, love your enemies. We are to love all men, even especially our enemies. But loving enemies, that goes totally against human nature, doesn't it? First, our nature is to what? Hate. Hate back, right? Strike back. Wish hurt on the enemy. At best, our nature is to treat the other person with coldness. They can come into a room and I just won't say anything to them. I was visiting with someone from our church a week ago, and they were telling me a long time ago, they were on vacation, and their practice is the same as ours. When they're on vacation, they just find a church and stop on Sunday morning. They didn't take a vacation on God when they were on vacation. And this one church they stopped in, they were telling me, we walked in, half the church is sitting on this side, half on that side, and none of them crossed the center aisle to talk to each other. And they told me you could feel the tension in the building, okay? Wow, that's sad. But that's our nature. And One thing that a believer can have for enemies is for a believer to have for enemies is mercy and compassion. Now, usually the enemy, the one that mistreated us, misspoke to us, did us wrong, however you want to say it, they don't deserve. That's why they call it mercy. We can choose, as believers, we can choose forgiveness in mercy and compassion. And as a believer, if we don't do this, then we have gained nothing from the Spirit of Christ that rests on us as believers. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 36 of chapter 6. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. God is merciful. Jesus is merciful. We have Christ's Spirit in us. We've gained nothing from it if we are not merciful. Now, here's the second thing. He says to do good as we look on. Do good to them which hate you. Put yourself in the context here. The Jews were enslaved people, conquered and hated by the Romans. And Jesus was saying, do good to them. This doing good is actually action. It's not just words, but actually actions that reaches out to them to try to help them. It actually searches for ways to do good. We'll send an email out from the church on the prayer mail, and you find out someone, needs help with this or they need that, and people flock in. I love that. Bringing meals, just gift cards, all different ways to help a person in our church family that's in need. But what this is teaching us is we should actually identify those people in our lives that would be qualified as enemies that did us wrong, and not just wait for a prayer mail to come to our inbox so we can do something nice for them. Okay? So, I'm sorry, I have to pick on someone today. And I got a volunteer in the back. Ray raised his hand. All right, Ray. So Ray did me wrong last week. He inconvenienced me, he frustrated me, he insulted me, whatever it is that people do to you. So that means this week, and all of last week, and all of this week, I need to be Facebook stalking Ray to find out how I might be a blessing to him. That's what God is saying here. We need to be looking for ways to love our enemies and to do good to them. Romans 12:20, it says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Proverbs 25:21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. So, third thing that Christ is teaching here in verse 28 is to bless people. All right, now let's consider that. Verse 28, he then says, bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. When someone speaks to you in a way that is not kind, or it's mean, mean-spirited, or subtly mean, or sarcastic, or rude, or at least you think it was, what do? Give it back, right? In an equally sarcastic, subtle, or rude way. No, but that's not what Christ is saying here. We speak softly. 1 Peter 3:9, it says this, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing for the evil, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. God is calling us to not give sarcasm for sarcasm, insult for insult, innuendo for innuendo. He's saying to speak softly, to bless people. Here's number four. Christ said to pray for others. Oh, and if you're my enemy, I pray for you. Oh, do I pray for you? Yep. You might want to attach a lightning rod to the roof of your car when you go outside. No, I'm just kidding. That's not the kind of praying for your enemies, okay? What are we to do when someone tries to shame us, dishonor us, put us down, embarrass us, speak ill of us behind our back, which, by the way, is how most people do it because they're too much of a coward to do it to your face, right? Okay? But they're doing these things behind our backs. What do? Pray for them. We're not praying lightning, okay? Pray for God to forgive them. Pray for peace between you and them. Pray for that person's salvation or God's correction in their heart. By the way, that is what Jesus did on the cross. I've never been treated that poorly. And what did Jesus pray? Forgive them. They know not what they do. The martyr, Stephen, as he was being stoned at his death, he raised his hands and asked God to forgive those that were stoning him. Now, here's what this does for us. It keeps us from becoming bitter, first of all, and it keeps us from becoming reactionary. You know what I mean by reactionary? They did it to us, boom, we react, we do it back. And they fire back, and then we fire back, and they fire back, and we stop. I've been preaching this on Wednesday for the last several weeks. Stop. Go. Pray, and then just obey what God's word is telling us to do. Instead of reacting. We used to play that game when we were in high school, junior high, the reflex game, okay? Flinch, like that. See if you can get someone to do this. That's how we are with each other a lot of times verbally. Man, we're quick to jab back with our words. Instead, we should just stop, go, and pray for that person. Here's number five, turn the cheek. Luke 6:29, it says, "And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other cheek. Let him that taketh away thy cloak forbid not to take thy coat also." Now, let me explain what Christ is talking about there. No retaliation. How do most arguments go? One person says something, the other takes it wrong, reads into it, or doesn't read into it. It's very clear what the one person said. And so that one person says something to you, and you're like, ouch. So we retaliate, and we send an ouch their way. And then, boom, back and forth. We are believers. What are we doing? That's how the world does things. Galatians 5:22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Nowhere in that list of fruits of the Spirit did you see jab for jab, sarcasm for sarcasm, Sarcasm, ignore, cold shoulder. You don't see that in there. Folks, we say we believe we are believers, then this is what a believer is supposed to do. Listen to what God told his people in the Old Testament. Leviticus 19:18, going all the way back to the Old Testament. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. If there's anyone in here this morning that has a grudge against anyone else, you need to do something with that this morning. In 1 John 1:9, God tells us what to do with it. Confess it. I have a grudge. I have sinned against God with my grudge. Just confess it. What happens when you do? God says, I forgive and I will cleanse you from that unrighteousness. Now, let's move past the Sunday school mentality thinking of this. Yes, yes, that's right. That's what we should do. If I knew that you have a grudge against somebody else right now, and I come up to you, and I said, before I preach this message, okay, and I come up to you this morning, and it's raise the guy today. Ray, I know you got an issue with this person, and it is wrong. God says you're supposed to forgive that person, and you need to let go of this bitterness and this grudge that you have. Now, what might you be tempted to say if you were Ray? Yeah, I have forgiven him. I just haven't spoken to him in 3 weeks. We just avoid each other. You don't know what he did. You don't know what they said. You don't know. God said, don't bear a grudge against your own people. Folks, you may have a family member that I don't know about that you haven't spoken to in a long time because of something they did. That's a grudge. Proverbs says in Proverbs 24:29, say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. God says, don't do that. Don't do tit for tat back and forth. As believers, we need to rise to the surface and demonstrate God. And what did God do for us? Forgave. No grudges. Showed mercy, compassion. In fact, he does good to us. Well, now Jesus begins touching on some principles for property. Let's talk about those briefly. Number one, he says, don't deprive. In Luke 6:29, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Now look at the second half. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. This is just referring to two garments that a Jewish person would be wearing, an inner coat and an outer coat. The principle is this. Now, before I jump into this, let me just remind you what I started with. These principles here went totally against the societal norms of that day. And these were hard for people to swallow. And many of them stopped listening. They stopped hearing. This is this parable that he gives here. It means the believer doesn't defend, stand up, or dispute the taking of his property. He forgives, and he gives more. He forgives the taking of his cloak, and he gives his coat on top of it. He doesn't get all tied up and consumed with his rights and his privileges in or out of court. He doesn't have time to. Because the believer that's doing this is too busy living his life for Christ, trying to bring more people into the kingdom. So Jesus is teaching, don't deprive. And I'm going to say a little bit more here, too, before we finish this section. The second thing, though, is to give. Luke 6:30. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Now, if you realize that we're live streaming right now, y'all should be getting very nervous. Because millions of people around the world are listening, and they're going to be calling you, asking you to give them something today. What this is teaching, for those of you live streaming and maybe thinking of this, is help those that have a need. The Bible doesn't say, the Bible does not say to just give without discretion. You're walking down the street or you drive up to an intersection and there's a panhandler right there, okay? And he's got his cardboard sign and his backpack is propped up against the door to the liquor store. Probably not a need existing there, okay? Or his backpack is propped up against the door to a liquor store next to a help wanted sign, okay? Probably not a need there. This is not, God is not saying just give money to anybody who wants it. To give everything to everybody. We must use discretion. Psalm 112 in verse 5 puts it this way. I'll have you just go ahead and look at that sometime. It teaches the idea of using discretion in our giving. We have to keep in mind here that Jesus is turning everything upside down by going to the attitude behind the actions. You remember what he did in the first part of the Sermon on the Mount? Have you ever committed adultery? Jesus said, oh, hold on a minute. I know that's a Ten Commandment. But then Jesus flipped it around. Past the action, yes, if you ever looked at someone with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already in your heart. See, this is what he's doing here in the New Testament. He's moving past those outward actions that anybody can fake. And he's going to the heart, the attitude. Behind the actions, we are to have a readiness to give when a need is present. Galatians 6 and verse 10, it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So the believer is to go to work, and I think we looked at this last week, Ephesians 4:28. The believer is to work, have a job, go to work for two reasons is what God gives us in the Word. To meet our own necessities and to have enough to help those in need. Now, Jesus kind of moves on to something very familiar to most of the world, I think, would understand this, the golden rule. Heard of that before? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? Here's the verse, Luke 6:31. Jesus actually taught this. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. This is a principle that should govern all behavior. And then Jesus moves on to self-denial. Now, he presents a very logical argument here for why a believer should live as God says to. The things that he's just taught us here this morning. As a believer, why should I do that? He lays it out for us here. Look with me in verse 32 of Luke 6. For if ye love them which love you, you remember what he started with? He said love, okay, love our enemies. If you love them which love you, what thank have ye? Sinners also love those that love them. Verse 33, and if you do good, that was another thing he said, do good. Do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And If ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Here's what he says about sinners in those three verses, okay? Sinners love those who love them. They do good to those that do good to them. Sinners do good to those that do the same likewise. And they lend to secure favor or some gain from the person they're lending to. That's what he's just identified about what Jesus is calling sinners here, this group of people. They love those that love them, do good to those that do good to them, and they lend to those that they can get something back from. Here's what Christ did. We'll take them in order. Love. Christ died for the ungodly. Second thing, doing good to those only if they do good to you. Here's what Christ did. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The third thing, here's what Christ did. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. See, it's really easy for us to do good to people, those that do good to us. To love them, be nice to them that are nice to us. Lend whatever that looks like for you to someone that we hope to gain favor from. But what if it's someone who you ain't getting anything out of that person? And they don't love you, and they're not going to do anything good back to you and never have. Do they even cross our radar to love and do good to and help? See, that person that I just described, that's us. And that's what Jesus did for us. He loved us. He did good to us. He gave us everything. Why did he do this? Well, he tells us in the New Testament, he says, to seek and to save the lost. It takes more than just doing the good things that the world does to be a follower of Christ. Why should a Christian do these things? Because that's what Jesus did, first of all. But if we could move past the slogan, what would Jesus do thing, and just be serious about it, why should we do these things? Jesus did these things to seek and to save the lost, to bring others to him. You say, but I'm a good person. I love people. I do good to people. I do some charitable giving. The Salvation Army kettle, I drop money in there. So does the world. So how are we any different? Here's how we can be different. Christ demonstrated it for us. Love your enemies. Do good to your enemies. That takes self-denial. I have to deny self to do that. And we have to do that for the sake of reaching lost people for Christ. What's our reward for this? Luke 6:35, Jesus tells us, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Verse 36, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. This passage says that we will receive a great reward. I don't know what it is. I don't know how many dollars it will be or if it will be dollars, but there will be a reward. Suffer lost here on this earth for Christ? Yes. But our reward for obeying Christ is great. Now, if God uses the word great, it's got to be bigger than your great, I'm thinking. Titus 3:7, it says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Are you in anybody's will? Have you ever been in anybody's will? Like a rich uncle or something like that? Don't answer the question. Okay. The camera is panning the room right now, looking for people to raise their hands. Isn't it? Wouldn't it be cool to be in someone's will that you know when you inherit it, you're set for life? I'm talking that kind of a person, okay? That kind of a person that has so much money that if they dropped $1 million out of their pocket, they wouldn't even realize it that night when they went to bed. That kind of a will. And you're inheriting this. Titus 3:7. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We're one of God's children as a believer. We are heirs, inheritors. Matthew 25:34 says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Simply stated, the believer shall receive an inheritance for having obeyed Christ and having served sacrificially on earth. The believer shall have part in the work of God that'll be performed in the new heaven and new earth that the Bible talks about. A work that will go on for all eternity. But look at verse 37 and 38 with me of Luke 6. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. This is not just saying that if I give someone $10 or $20, I'm going to get $20 back. Well, more. What an investment plan, right? Hey, by the way, side note here. Those of you that think it's fun and it's entertaining to buy lottery tickets and play the video games, okay? You know, let's say every time you play, I know once in a while you win. Woo, I won $5. You spent $100. I figured out a way to cheat the system. You win $5 for every $100 that you spend. I figured out a way to guarantee that you will win $50 for every $100 that you spend. Give me $100 and I'll give you $50 back. Wow! How do you like those odds? Hundreds of percent better right there. Boom. Just give it to me. I promise I'll give you 60 back, okay? And let's just do that every week. How about that? God isn't saying that type of precise, you give me 10, I'll give you 20 back. That's not what God is saying here. It's the promise of reciprocal behavior. I don't know, the world would call it karma, okay? You do good to people and it'll come back to you. Actually, it's a godly principle here. We will, the law of sowing and reaping, we will get back what we have given. If you give judgment, you're going to get judgment back. Give condemnation, that's what you're going to get back. Give forgiveness, that's what you're going to get back. Giving to people, that's what you're going to get back. If you're focused on getting from people, that's what people are going to be focused on with you. We receive what we give. That's the principle here. So, as believers, how are you treating your enemies? Loving them, doing good to them. And keep in mind, we've ended this kind of straying away from how it started. Enemies. All this stuff at the end, in context, needs to be focused on those that are enemies, we have grudges with, we just stay away from each other, we don't talk anymore. Change that today. Call them. Invite them out for coffee. It's a lot harder for someone to start yelling and screaming at you when you're sitting in LP. Okay? Just saying. Go to a public place. Whatever. Just start being like Christ. Heavenly Father, help us with this, because these things today, they do go so totally against our nature, which is why many of our relationship issues have to do with our natural reactions to hurt from those that hurt. We hurt back instead of loving and doing good. So God, we need your help with this. God, I pray that in our next few moments here, that each person would just take a moment to confess what your Spirit has been speaking to them about. No more excuses about what they did and all of that. You know what they did, and you know what we did to you, and you still forgive. In Jesus' name, amen.